This message was recorded during the coronavirus lockdown in 2020. Thank you for listening to this Audacious Church podcast.
We're in the middle of our series, Unshakable. I know you've enjoyed it. And so in the chat, you could maybe just say which is what God's spoken to you about over the last few weeks. We've been looking at the names of God, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. And last week we were looking at Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. An incredible message from Pastor Glenn. You can watch all of those messages back on our YouTube channel just later on, just to get context of this series. We're really talking about in the middle of this world where everything that could be shaken has been shaken, what is it that we can rely on? What can we hold on to? What can we set our feet upon? What can we have confidence in? Because it seems like everything that can be shaken is or is going to be shaken. And so as Christians, we believe that we have a solid foundation. In fact, Jesus illustrated the kingdom of God by looking at the comparison of two people. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, he speaks about this story about a man who builds his house on the rock. He says, he's the man who hears the word of God and does something about it. He's like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. No matter what happens, the storms of life come, and yet he remains standing. I'm still standing. When you do that, the second man he talks about is the man who hears the word of God and yet does nothing about it. We don't want to be like that. He says that man is like the man who builds his house on the sand. Looks good for a moment. But when the storms come, when the waves come, this house falls flat. And today we've got an opportunity not only to hear the word of God, but to do something about it. And God wants you to live an unshakable life because Hebrews 12 tells us we have an unshakable kingdom that we're a part of. And so whatever's going on in your world today, whatever's been shaken, job situations, family life, everything in your world, anything that's been shaken, you have an opportunity today to have your feet on a solid rock of Jesus Christ. This is the unshakable life that we as Christians can live. Today we're looking at part four of our series, Unshakable. And we're going to read from Judges chapter 6. So if you've got your Bibles in paper form, then you can turn there with me. Judges chapter 6, verse number 1 says, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And for 7 years, he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Just skip with me down to verse 11 for a moment. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak at Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Ibezerite. Easy for you to say. Where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Why does it seem like chaotic and crazy, and why are we being overcome? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and has put us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family." And the Lord answered, "I will be with you, and I will strike down the Midianites together." Gideon replied, "If now I've found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it's really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. The Lord said, I will wait until you return. Gideon went in, prepared a young goat and an ephah of flour and bread without yeast, putting the meat in a basket and his broth in a pot. He poured them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of the Lord said, take the meat, the unleavened bread, and place them on this rock. Pour out the broth as an offering. And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire fled from the rock, consumed the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, sovereign Lord, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there, and he called it, the Lord is peace. He called it Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. And today, if you want a title for this message, it's simply this, the calm in the chaos. Let's pray together for a moment. God, I just thank you for every person, wherever they're watching from right now. We thank you, God, for every person being created by you in the image of God. And we thank you today that we get to live in an unshakable kingdom, the kingdom of God. We get to live unshakable lives. Even in the middle of chaos, we can be the calm. And so we pray today, God, would you speak to every person clearly? God, would you strengthen every person? Give each one of us a new level of courage in Jesus' name. And everybody online said, amen, amen, amazing. Well, it's incredible context that we read in verse number 1 of Judges chapter 6 when it says the Israelites did evil in the sight of God. What we see throughout the book of Judges for the context is this cyclical behavior of the Israelites. One minute they're doing evil in the sight of God. This word in the original language of evil is not just there, you're doing some bad things, but the nation is turning away from God and they end up living in lives of turmoil and chaos and calamity. And what they find is as they do their own thing, turning away from God and do evil in the sight of God, they find that they live in the consequence of that behavior. They find that the Lord disciplines them. And then out of discipline, eventually they come to a place of saying, what are we doing? And they come to a place of repentance. They say, sorry, God, we've turned away from you. We've done our own things and we've seen the consequence of that in our lives. And so, God, right now, we're coming back to you. And eventually, out of that repentance, God always answers our prayers. And so he delivers the nation. But through Judges, we see that behavior happening over and over again. They do evil, and then they face the consequence, the discipline of God. And then they come to a place of repentance and then deliverance. And in deliverance, eventually they start to think, actually, we're doing pretty good. We don't need God anymore. And so they go on. And right now in chapter 6, verse 1, we see the start of another cycle. Israel doing their own thing. They think we've got this. And what happens is they face the consequence and they see that they are being overrun and overtaken by a foreign nation. Remember, at this time in Judges chapter 6, the Israelites are in Canaan. They are in a place flowing, a land flowing with milk and honey. They're in the land of their dreams. They're literally walking in the promise of God. And yet now, through their own disobedience, they're facing the consequence that now they're living in chaos. They're living in calamity. They're living in turmoil. Their opposition has overtaken them. And so they're facing this situation, and eventually they come to a place of repentance, saying, God, we come back to you. And when we pick it up in verse 11, the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon, and right now we see the start of deliverance again through this man, Gideon. And what we see is over this whole environment of chaos, God begins to speak to this man, who then is going to carry something on behalf of his nation. God's voice speaks in the middle of the Israelites' chaos. And whatever chaos is going on for you right now, I want you to know that God's word will speak to you in the middle of your chaos. God's word will come and find you wherever you're at today. Maybe you have turned your back on God. And maybe in different ways you are seeing that your life in different aspects, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, there's an element of turmoil. And yet God's word is speaking to you today. You see, God's word brings right perspective back into our life. And I've found that right perspective produces real peace. You see, God speaks the first time to Gideon in verse number 12, and he says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. I don't know about you, but I read that scripture and I see anything but a mighty warrior. Verse 11, we see that Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press. I mean, if you'd read your history, you'd know that this is an act in the wrong context. You would normally thresh wheat in an open, expansive public place where the air could come through and blow off the chaff as you're threshing the wheat. And yet Gideon is so in fear for what he's got. He's so defensive about his provision that he's threshing wheat in a low place, in a wine press, hidden away from everybody. He doesn't want the opposition to get what he's got. He's worked hard for this. He's put in a lot of effort, and so he doesn't want to lose the little that he's got. And so his life is becoming more and more introverted, more and more self-defensive, more and more self-conscious, to this place now where he's preparing the wheat in a private place. I don't know how you found as lockdown has gone on longer and longer and longer, and we all thought it would be 2 weeks or maybe 4 weeks at the worst, and here we are, week 16, people. You know, but as lockdown goes on, if we're not careful and we don't make decisions about our connectivity, we can become more and more self-protecting and more self-conscious and more looking after ourselves. And Gideon is just like me and maybe some of you. And Gideon threshing wheat in this private place, totally out of context. And yet God comes to him and he says, look at you, Gideon. Wow, you are a mighty warrior. I mean, these are the right words, but to the wrong guy, surely. These are the right words, but to someone who's not behaving anywhere like a mighty warrior. But God always speaks to the person that we are becoming. God always speaks to us to pull us up, because we always rise or fall to the loudest voice we listen to. And today, wherever we're at today, is a result of the permission we've given for the loudest voice to determine the level at which we live. And God speaks to Gideon, not according to his current behavior, but he speaks to him according to who he really is. If you go back all the way to creation, and when God created man, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, that we were made in the image of God. Imago Deo. You were made in the image, the likeness of God. You carry some of the attributes of who God is because you were made in the image of God. That's how Adam was made. And yet Adam ate the forbidden fruit. He misbehaved. He turned his back on God, thought, I'm going to eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil rather than the tree of life. He made his own decision. He chose his own way. Does that act mean now he is no longer made in the image of God? No, because our behavior does not determine in whose image we've been created. And today, however your thinking is at, however your behavior is, whether you're living a big life or a self-conscious life, the Bible is clear that we are made in his image, and God speaks to you wherever you're at today and says, stand up, be strong, mighty warrior. There is more in you. And when we understand you are who God says you are, you are not what your behavior says you are. You are not what society tells you that you are. You are not that all the books you could read tell you who you are. You are who the Word of God tells you you are. And wherever you're at today, you can open up the Word of God and say, I am a mighty warrior because I have been made in the image of God. I carry his image wherever I go. You are who God says you are. The second thing God says to Gideon is you can do what I say you can do. In verse number 14, he says, go in the strength you have. Go in the strength you have. Gideon's there threshing wheat in a wine press, looking after me, myself, his own interests. And yet God's telling him, I hear what you're saying, God. I just feel weak and I feel nothing. I feel insignificant. And yet you're saying, I am made in your image. You're saying that I am in the image of God. You're saying that I'm a mighty warrior. I hear you saying that. And now you're saying, go in the strength that you have. Gideon's response is, I'm just the weakest from the weakest clan, and I'm the weakest in my family. I am insignificant. I'm nothing. Isn't it amazing how God's word cuts right across everything that we think we are, everything society would tell you you are, everything culture would try and define you as. And God's word says, you are who I say you are, and you can do what I say you can do. I wonder what God has said you can do in your life. Because the Bible is clear that you can do whatever God says you can do. It looks at Gideon square in the face, says, Gideon, eyeball me. Go in the strength you have. In other words, you've got enough strength today to make the one step I need you to take. And wherever you're at today, you have enough strength to take the one step you need to take. You might not know how this huge, expansive vision of God for your life is going to outplay. You might not be able to accomplish everything that God has spoken to you about, but you can go in the strength you have today. Just as God said to Gideon, go in the strength, not that's coming to you. Not that you, when you start to act right, that power will be given to you. No, he says, go in the strength you have today. And this week, you can go in the strength that you already have. Listen to the words of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. You got enough today to take the one step you need to take. Gideon, hearing God say, you are who I say you are. You are. Gideon, hearing the voice of God saying, you can do what I've called you to do. Right perspective produces real peace in your life. When you take your eyes off threshing wheat in your wine press, when you take your eyes off looking after yourself and self-preservation and protection and my rights and what people should treat, when you take your eyes off all of those things and you say, God, I'm just going to live according to you, who you say I am. And I'm going to do what only you say I can do. Right perspective produces real peace. And the last thing, God speaks to Gideon. He says, you can overcome what I say you can overcome. Verse number 16, he says, you shall defeat the Midianites. This opposition, this enemy that has come against you. In many ways, you're just facing the consequence, Gideon, of just turning your back on me. But now I've seen you, you've come back to me, you've repented, and I want to deliver you. And Gideon, you're going to overcome what I say you can overcome. Gideon, I want you to know, you should only be defined by my voice to the core of who you are. Thank God for his word that's sharper than any double-edged sword. The sharpest words you can hear, the most potent and powerful words that you can hear is God say who you are. And out of God telling us who we are, we hear God say that you can do what I've called you to do. You can take the one step you need to take today. And the third thing he says to Gideon is you're gonna overcome this opposition. What opposition is in front of you? What challenge are you facing? God says, just as he said to Gideon, you shall overcome. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, the Bible gives us a how-to of overcoming. How do we overcome? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. You don't overcome through philosophy and incredible self-leadership. You overcome through the blood of the Lamb by submitting your life to Jesus Christ. Saying, thank you, God, for the blood shed on a cross, your body broken for me. I thank you that you died. You paid a price that I should have paid, but I couldn't. You subbed in, you took the pain, the shame, the guilt. You paid my price. When you rose again, you gave me a new start, a new life. You overcome because of that act on the cross and his resurrection. Second how-to of overcoming from Revelation 12, 11 is you overcome through the word of your testimony, through my story. You know, your story is so powerful because what you're doing is not only projecting your story so other people can hear, but at the same time, you are reminding yourself about what God has done in your life. And even as you hear about the miraculous, how God spoke to you, how God picked you up, made you great, set your feet in an unshakable kingdom, you say, wow, if God did that, I can believe for something greater in the future. And the third way that we overcome Revelation 12, 11 is through not loving our life until death, having an eternal perspective, saying, I'm not living my life to acquire on this earth. This Christian faith is not just about living a better 80 years or whatever. This faith of mine is about becoming an eternal being. It's about living forever in relationship with God. You are created in the image of God to be with him. And so when you have an eternal perspective, right perspective produces real peace. And it's in that environment of God speaking to Gideon. He bows a knee. He builds an altar. He sacrifices on that altar. And as he worships, he says, wow, Thank you, God, your voice speaking so powerfully. I am who you say I am. I can do what you say I can do, and I will overcome that which you say I will overcome. And because my perspective has shifted, you are Jehovah Shalom of your challenge. It's the addition of God's character and resolve in your life. The shalom, the peace of God, is not getting away from things, but it's standing up and saying, I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do, and I will overcome that which God has already paid the price, and I will overcome. It's where the peace of God fills you. The peace of God is not the removal of anything, but it's the gaining of his power and his presence in your life. Right perspective produces real peace. I want to encourage you this week to open up the words of God. How do I get God to speak to me? How can God tell me who I am? How can God tell me what I can do and how I can overcome? Through the pages of this book, when you open up, you submit your life to this word, to no other word, to this word. You say, God, I read your word. You speak to me. And then Gideon heard the word of God, and then he worshiped. As we worship, as we lift hands, as we lift our voices, as we sing in our homes, we lift our hearts to God. Say, God, fill me with your peace. Right now, I'm praying for peace in every home, in every heart. Right now, would you bow your heads? The calm in the chaos. Right perspective produces real peace. God, we thank you for your word. Your word is more powerful and potent than any other words. There is no words that supersede your word. God, there's no identity that supersedes who you say we are. We thank you, God, we're made in your image, in your likeness, with many of your attributes. God, we get to participate in your nature. By grace, we're becoming who you are in nature. Fill every person as we understand that that right perspective produces peace in our life. I pray you'd speak to every person, every business leader, every entrepreneur, every family member, every parent, every key worker, everyone listening, God, right now, would you impart the peace of God through your presence and your grace? We thank you for your goodness to us, Jesus. We thank you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, Amen.
You've been listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. Or join one of our live stream services every Sunday.